Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome to another TFMR podcast. As we begin what will be a very interesting year, 2016, it's thrilling to have with us again today Keith Neumeyer, kind of a hero to many of us in the metals industry, as Keith is president and CEO of First Majestic Silver, one of the largest primary silver miners in the country. He's also the chairman of First Mining Finance, and a real expert and respected member of the metals industry. Keith, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to spend with us today.
Well, thanks, Craig. It's great to have an interview so early in the year.
And it's going to be an interesting year, but I guess before we start looking forward, we might as well look back. It has been, that 2015 was crazy. Third or fourth year in a row, we've had paper metal prices go down. But I think both of the companies with which you're involved weathered the storm pretty well. What do you think about at least metals prices as we turn the corner from 2015 into 2016?
Well, you know, I'm pretty confident that, you know, we'll be higher at the end of 2016 than we're currently at today. But, you know, the short-term, day-to-day, it's almost impossible to predict. But you know, I'm just looking at, you know, obviously silver is an important metal to me, and I'm just looking at the supply-demand fundamentals for the metal, and it's just, you know, couldn't be any better, even though the price just doesn't seem to want to move. And, you know, the demand for gold is also extremely high. But, you know, the markets are turbulent right now, and you know, people, you know, are probably really confused on what to invest in, where you see, you know, some of the big markets, you know, starting to, you know, come off. And I think the major U.S. markets had their worst starting week, you know, in history, or at least in the last, you know, several decades. And, you know, that's kind of tough. But, you know, gold did hold up during that period of time, which I think is important. And, you know, as people start looking at, you know, their portfolios throughout the year and looking at the sector and saying, hey, you know, we've been ignoring the sector for 4 years, and, you know, look at the valuations. You know, we really got to deploy some money. You know, maybe we shouldn't have all our money in, you know, in Apple and Google and you know, all these other, you know, big stocks that, you know, the funds have been very much focused on and have done very well at, you know, mind you, over the last couple of years. But now, you know, they have to make a switch. And you know, we saw that switch back, you know, in 2002 when the fund manager decided, you know, to start taking money out of tech and started, you know, getting money into resources. I think we're going to see it all over again, and likely this year.
Yeah, it has been impressive. And I know we're talking about $14 silver, which is nothing to write home about, but that area has served as a pretty stout floor for all the way going back to late 2014. So perhaps we're finally getting to a point where fundamentals are beginning to assert themselves. You know, and the mining shares too, you know, one of the indexes I follow, you probably look at it too, is the HUI. It too has seemed to find a floor here at around 105, going back almost 6 months. As we turn this corner into 2016, I ask this question of a lot of folks, Keith. So I might as well ask you. You know, these miners have obviously had a tough, very tough couple of years, but there are survivors here. There are companies that, as price turns, are going to perform quite well. And I should let everybody know, I am a shareholder of both First Majestic and First Mining Finance, so I'm maybe a little bit biased in some regard about how great these companies are. But just in a general sense, Keith, what should folks be looking for in a company, in a mining company, that would maybe let people think, okay, this is a survivor, this is one that I should begin to pick at?
Well, as an investor, I think you have to look at management always, and you know, see what the successes of management has been in the past, and you know, have they brought value? You know, have they made money for investors? You know, what's their long-term plan? How credible, you know, is the management? And then, you know, look at, does management own stock? And you know, it's a big criteria for me. You know, when I go in and make an investment in a public company, you know, whatever industry it is, but most of my money is obviously in mining. But nevertheless, you know, I go to the management circular and I look at it and I see what the board of directors own, what management owns, and I'll even go into the insider trading reports and see, are the directors selling stock? You know, when I'm buying, you know, that's a very critical thing. You know, when they're, you know, when they're running around the world telling their story and they're selling stock, well, while they're promoting the story, then, you know, that's a big red flag for me. So, you know, it's just you know, maybe common sense in some ways, but I think people forget to, you know, go on to the, you know, CDAR and EDGAR websites and then really, you know, look at the financial statements and look at the information circulars and, you know, see what these companies are made up of and, you know, see, you know, who's running companies.
Is it important to have proven reserves in the ground? Is it important to have your fingers into some spots that might prove to be profitable at a price point in the future? I mean, what do you look at as being the most important things for miners going forward?
Well, I think you're asking two questions. One as an investor, as a private investor, and one as a corporate investor. And,
yeah.
The answers are slightly different, and it all comes down to risk tolerance. And you know, the reason why we have systems in place to identify, you know, the metal in the ground is basically to tell our investors or shareholders, you know, what the potential value of our holdings are. And so, you know, we have these categories of, you know, inferred resources and measured and indicated resources and proven and probable resources. And, you know, as you increase the quality of those resources, you know, in theory, you should be reducing the risk of owning that company. You know, for example, if you're going to buy a company that has no resources at all, and they just got a bunch of ground, and they're going to punch a hole in the ground, you know, it's almost like going to Vegas in a way. It's a little bit better, but you know, I'm being a little bit exaggerated, but you know, it's you know, the chances of hitting an economic ore body is pretty slim. So you know, but if they do, of course, you can do very well, and oftentimes make a lot of money. But you know, so it all comes down to risk tolerance. And you know, when it comes to First Mining or First Majestic, when we're looking at assets, you know, I bought five companies in 1 year. I think from a personal perspective, it's definitely a record for me. I'm not sure how many other, you know, CEOs or chairmen have gone out and bought five companies in 1 year. But in the case of First Majestic, we bought an active producing mine, you know, producing 5 million ounces a year. And, you know, that's, you know, what we do at First Majestic. You know, we look for projects that are producing or can be brought into production. So it's very late stage, you know, very developed assets. In the case of First Mining Finance, you know, we're looking at resources in the ground that's drilled out, that we know what the number is. We and it's just simply because of the current market environment that the market's not putting true value, or at least value that we consider true value, on the asset. So there's an opportunity for us to buy ounces in the ground for, you know, highly, highly discounted prices, and banking those assets over time and monetizing them for the benefit of our shareholder base, you know, over the next, you know, few years as we you know, as this market changes.
And as you said, just in the last inside of the last 12 months, you bought how many different companies has First Mining Finance added?
Four companies.
That's fantastic. And obviously you started out with 0 ounces of gold in the ground. How many do you think you're up to now?
We're close to 8 million ounces now, and it's just amazing. It's we bought them for so cheap. It's just, you know, surprising, but it's not. It's I've done it before. You know, in the case of my first company, First Quantum Minerals, back in the 90s. You know, I was buying copper assets that no one wanted, and then, you know, in the early 2000s, you know, silver assets for First Majestic, and now, you know, 10 years later, you know, for First Mining Finance, we're buying assets that no one wants. And, you know, it's a buyer's market. And I think, you know, this is the time you got to be stepping in and buying these things. And, none of us has a crystal ball. You know, we don't know if the bottom's in, you know, but I don't really care if we're at the bottom or 10% away from the bottom. It's irrelevant to me because I'm buying for the long term, you know, success of the First Mining Finance.
Yep. You know, every year I watch It's a Wonderful Life, and there's a great scene in there where George Bailey says, "Don't you see what Mr. Potter's doing? While everybody else is selling, he's buying." And that's always been the case, particularly true in the metals. And I don't want to compare you or my buddy Eric Sprott to Mr. Potter, but nonetheless, that is the strategy you're employing. And from a long-term sense, certainly seems to be the best plan, especially, like I said, in dealing with the precious metals. So you've got these assets that you're acquiring. Can you make a blanket statement? And I don't want to make it put you on the spot in any way, Keith. But is there a price point at which all of the, you know, this gold that you're acquiring in the ground, it becomes economical? You know, to where, you know, the scale kicks in and you've got the gold coming out at a tremendous profit.
Well, look, you know, our business plan is not to buy, you know, assets that requires dramatically higher metal prices. That's
okay.
Not our business plan. You know, this is not like, you know, what Ross Beaty did with Lumina or Robert Quartermain did, Bob Quartermain did with Silver Standard years ago, where in both cases they were buying assets that had very low grade metal within the ground and required much, much higher metal prices to turn them into, you know, feasible or economic assets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in both of those cases, people did very well. I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that business plan, but I'm just saying that that's not First Mining Finance. First Mining Finance is buying what I call early cycle assets. So these cycles are good grade, and at current metal prices, could be economic if they are producing mines, and they don't require, you know, 2,000 or gold to be economic. You know, they could actually be economic today, but the problem is that there's no money available for them. The market is broken, and these companies cannot go out and raise sufficient capital to build out these mines, and so that's why I call them early cycle.
When
psychology in the marketplace changes, and Wall Street or Bay Street wakes up and says, hey, geez, there's actually value in this mining sector. We should start deploying capital in this mining sector. They're going to be looking at these good quality assets, these early cycle assets that are run by good management teams, and those are the ones that will be financed first before anything else gets financed. So those are the kinds of assets we're focusing on.
Well, and as you said, the key in any mining share, mining company, is quality of management and that expertise and the wisdom that comes from the experience. And clearly, I mean, the one of the big draws for me in First Mining Finance and becoming a shareholder is you, Eric Sprott, Rick Rule, all guys that have done this before. If you could just share, let's go one more time back to that and just talk about the experience you've had at doing this in the past and how that should hopefully parlay into, again, success again.
Yeah, I've been doing this for 34 years, and then, you know, I think I've proven in my career that I'm very good at buying assets. And, you know, I've created a ton of wealth by doing that, and you know, I'm hopefully doing it all over again. And, you know, I've been in the market buying stock myself, and, you know, in the case of First Majestic Silver, maybe I look like an idiot, but, you know, I never sold any stock at $25 when it was up there, and I actually own more stock today than I did when the stock was $25, and the stock is around $4 today. So, you know, I think it'll go back up to those prices, you know, when things change. I put my mouth where my money where my mouth is. You know, I'm very convinced that this is the time to be buying assets, and that's why I put together a third company, First Mining Finance.
Well, and Keith, while I've got you on the line, I got to follow up with you on one thing. Like I said, you're very well respected in the metals community for how you've been able to manage these companies, but also you're one of the few mining executives that seems to get it, seems to understand that these banks are in their making markets for paper metal and that they really seem to control the price and manage the price in whichever direction they'd like it to go. When we last spoke, you had penned a letter you sent off to the CFTC. I know it got passed around the internet, got passed around my site quite a bit. At the time when we last spoke last summer, you'd yet to hear back from them. You would think CEO of a big primary silver miner writing to inquire about how his market works, you'd think that would get their attention. Did you ever hear anything? Did you ever get any follow-up?
No, I never did, and you know, I kind of expected I wasn't going to hear anything, but I was, at the same time, I was hoping that I was going to hear something, but it never did happen. And then, you know, interestingly enough, I saw the movie The Big Short
Yes.
last night, and you know, it's for a layman, obviously, you know, it cuts the you know, what happened down to, you know, very much layman terms, but it was still quite interesting. And, you know, that's basically, you know, the banks were controlling, you know, all the debt instruments that, you know, were discussed in that movie. And, you know, the banks control the metal prices, unfortunately, as well.
Well, and they've made them a big short for the last couple of years, but I'm with you. Look, the fundamentals sure certainly have to take over at some point soon. They're beginning to assert themselves in 2016, and hopefully that trend will continue. Keith, I want to thank you so much for spending some time to visit. And again, as a shareholder in both of those companies, First Mining Finance and in First Majestic, I wish you a prosperous 2016. And hopefully we can visit again sometime soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a pleasure, and I'm glad we had the chance for the discussion.
All right. Keep the faith, my friend. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah.